All right, so we are in the book of Acts, and we are getting close to finishing this up. I can't remember. I know I missed saying this in one of the services. I think it was this one. I want to do a challenge to everyone before the end of the year. Make sure, here's my challenge, read through the book of Acts. Read it through. We've been going through the book of Acts. We've almost spent a year in the book of Acts. Read it for yourself one more time and see if the Holy Spirit might just jar some things up that in your memory of what we've been going over, and also and just seek for wisdom and insight into this great book. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, we'll start at verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of Adramidium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. Putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia. We came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete of Salmon, coasting along it with difficulty. We came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter, and the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the story of Paul's life and this incident, God, and how your hand was on him and protected him, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see your sovereign hand over our lives, and may we look to you, may we listen to the Holy Spirit, and may we listen to godly counsel and wisdom and seek you and look to you in all situations of life. Father, I pray that you'd help me to preach today plain and clear, Lord, so plain that a child can understand. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. As we come to Acts chapter 27, in 26, Paul had appealed to Caesar, and so he was headed to Rome. And as he's headed to Rome, he's placed on a ship with other prisoners. So you have this, they have the sailors, and you have soldiers on the ship, and you have prisoners on the ship, and they're heading to Rome. This would have been about in late September, early October, when they aborted the ship to go and head to Rome. And as they head to Rome, Paul, he gets this discerning spirit about him. We don't know if it's with a vision, dream, or just the Holy Spirit kind of nudging him. But he says, "I perceive that we should just wait a while. We don't need to go because danger is ahead." And so they don't listen to him. They listen to the pilot. They listen to the owner of the ship. And the majority says, "No, we need to go." And so here they take off. And so they get on board and they start taking off. And what happens is a tumultuous wind starts stirring. And there's something called the Northeaster comes and starts just rocking the ship. I mean, it's going back and forth, and it's taking it off course, and they're not able to control it, and so they end up just throwing the sails and going with the wind, and they're just trying to survive. They're in survival mode. They're throwing off their tackle boxes. They're taking cargo, and they're throwing it off the ship. They're doing everything they can to make sure that this boat doesn't capsize and flip over, and they all die. So, it's just a chaos. Days pass, and if you jump down to verse 20. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, I mean, it's a really big storm, all hope of being saved was at last abandoned. They got to the point to where they're like, there is no hope. Now, this morning, as we look at this text, I'm not going to speak to you about how to survive if you're ever on a ship and it goes bad. Because I doubt many of us have ever had that experience. Though I did have somewhat of a small version, a very, very, very tiny small version of an experience of being on a ship and not having in a storm. Anybody ever go to Myrtle Beach? How many of y'all ever go to Myrtle Beach? Raise your hand if you've been to Myrtle Beach. You know, go to Myrtle Beach. There's all kinds of things you can get into, all kinds of activities you can do. Well, one of those activities is you can go deep sea fishing. And you can fish for sharks. And so Caleb, he's around 10, 11 years old at the time, and we're there with my family, and my brother-in-law is there. And so we thought it would be a great idea if us guys would go on a deep-sea fishing adventure. And so me and Chris and Caleb, we bought the ticket to go fishing for sharks. And so we're signed up, we're getting there, paid our money, and the guy that was kind of directness was, he was kind of like, they're all taking you all out today? And we're like, yeah, they didn't cancel it. He's like, okay. He's like, I don't know if I'd go. And we're like, yeah. Well, what does he know? You know, he just does this. And so we get out. So we get out on the boat, and we're going out there and out into the ocean. And it's fine, you know. And then he kind of pauses, there we go. And all of a sudden, I mean, the wind is blowing. It's about 4 to 5 foot waves start crashing up against the boat. And it's rocking back and forth, you know. We're harnessed in, you know, we got our big pole there. I'm going back and forth. I'm just sitting there trying not to fall, but I'm like, I paid my money. I'm catching a shark. And I'm determined I'm going to do something here. And so we're in it, and the wind and the waves, they just keep knocking and knocking, and that boat just keeps going. There's about 12, 13 of us on there. And then all of a sudden, one by, you know, they bring the bait out there. It kind of smells. It has a foul odor, and then plus all the rocking and all that stuff. And one by one, people just start kind of dropping off, and you start hearing sounds like, and they're one by one, they're going, and they're passing a bucket around, right? Everybody, like, some one little kids are there going, I need a bucket. And they're just, and I'm sitting there thinking, bunch of wimps, you know. And I'm holding on, and all of a sudden I see my brother-in-law, he goes down. I kind of get a chuckle out of that, you know, because he was an athlete and stuff in high school. So there he is, he's down. I'm like, man, he just can't handle this, you know. So me and Caleb, we're there, we're fishing, and then, oh, man, it hit me. I was like, oh. I mean, I guess that's what they call being seasick, right? And I start just getting, I mean, my head starts spinning. My gut feels like somebody just punched me in the gut. I'm sick. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm like, I do not want that bucket. I don't want the bucket. I don't want to throw up. I don't want to. I'm just feeling like I'm feeling awful. Horrible. I go to a corner of the boat, and I just lay down on the ground, curl up in a ball. I'm like, Lord, just don't let me throw up. Just don't let me throw up. Just don't let me throw up. That's all I'm just praying. I mean, I had lost all hope. I mean, it was gone. I was at the point to where I thought, man, if this boat capsizes and flips over, hallelujah. I mean, it'll put me out of my misery. I can't handle this one bit. And so I'm sitting there looking, and here, Caleb, I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, oh, gosh, here I'm dad. You know, what am I going to do? My son, how am I going to help and protect my son? I look over, and Caleb's sitting there going. He's sitting there singing, all my hope is in Jesus. It didn't faze him one bit. And we finally got off. My brother-in-law was like, man, I was going to take a picture of you over there growing up. He said, but I was so sick, I couldn't even get my phone out of my pocket to take a picture. So So the sermon is not about how to survive a deep sea fishing expedition in Myrtle Beach, but it is about what do you do when you're in the storms of life. When the wind comes crashing and the waves beat at you, what do you do? What do you do when you find yourself in a storm? Do you crawl over into the corner of the boat and throw in the towel and say, I give up, there's no hope? Do you lose all hope and just quit? Or do you look up and listen to what God says? And so as we look at this story of Paul's life, of what he did and what he experienced, I think there's some things that we can learn. And as I read this story, I notice some things about this situation and some things about what happens in life and situations that we place ourselves in or get placed into. And the number one lesson I learned from this is that it would do us all well to heed godly wisdom. Amen? It would do us all well to listen to godly advice. Psalm 34, verse 11 says, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. It's talking about wisdom. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You see, in this story here, we were told that Paul begins and he says, sirs, I perceive that this is not a good idea for us to go. But they didn't listen to Paul. I mean, and in a way I can understand why they didn't listen to Paul. I mean, Paul is a prisoner. Instead, they listened to the pilot, which makes sense. They listened to the ship's owner, which makes sense. And so they go with what they thought rather than what the man of God said. And they didn't heed the godly counsel. They just took the worldly counsel and they got themselves in a mess. Have y'all realized there's a difference between worldly counsel and godly counsel? There's the advice that the world will give you, and then there's the advice that God's word gives you. And here's what I'm going to say is it's always better to listen to God's word and godly wisdom than worldly wisdom. Amen? And so because these men did not listen to Paul, they got themselves in the midst of a storm. They got themselves in a situation that they almost lost their lives in because they would not heed the advice of Paul. So let's just be real honest and let's just lay it out there. Let's go to this one hard truth. This is the hardest truth of the whole message. We can get past this, we'll be good. You ready? You ready for it? That's why I like pastoring Living Water Church. We can take the hard medicine, can't we? There are some times in life where we are in a storm and it's our fault. It's nobody else's fault but our own. Because we didn't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We didn't listen to the God's word, and we didn't listen to godly counsel. We may have even heard godly wisdom, been given godly counsel, and knew deep down inside that we needed to heed godly counsel, but for some reason we said, you know what, I know that I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Anybody ever have those moments in life where you just went on and did it anyway? And you did it anyway and you got yourself in a mess. You didn't listen and you're in a storm and the waves are crashing around you and you made a bad decision and another bad decision and on top of that to fix that one you made another bad decision and then you look up and you go, God, why are you doing this to me? And he says, I didn't. You did it. So So we need to listen to godly advice. Not only did they not listen to Paul's advice, but they listened to worldly wisdom. They listened to the multitude, it says. And when the multitude said, nope, I think we need to get on the ship and go, they listened to the crowd. How many of y'all realize just because a lot of people are saying something doesn't make it right? Just because the multitude agrees that something should be done one way doesn't mean that it's the right way. I know parents, we pound this into our children all the time, right? Don't follow the crowd, you know. Don't, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean what? You've got to do it, right? That takes us not only in our childhood, but that's good all the way through adulthood. I mean, look at what the world is saying is right in our worldview today. There are many things that the world says is right that the Bible says is wrong. We're living in a time much like Judges, where it says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. We are calling that which is good evil, and that which is evil good. The Bible says, broad is the path that leads to destruction, narrow is the path to everlasting life. I tell you what, I'd rather be on the narrow path that leads to life than the broad path of popularity and what the culture says and what the world says, okay, and it go to disaster, wouldn't you? Yeah. So let's listen. So one thing that we can learn today is we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, listen to God's word, and listen to godly counsel. Another thing that we learn through this is this. There are some times that we're in a storm and it's our fault. We didn't listen. Now, Paul is on this, he's on the same boat with these men. He didn't want to travel this route. He said, this is not a good idea, but he's on the boat anyway. Why? Because he's a prisoner. And he didn't have a choice. He had to be on that boat. And if they said, we're going, guess what? He was going, whether he wanted to or not. Here's another reality about situations and storms of life. There are some storms that you are in or have been through or will go through. It's not your fault. It wasn't that what you chose. It wasn't because you signed up for the ride and paid the ticket to get on board. It's because someone else did it to you. And you are caught in a storm because of a choice that they made. So we have men and women in adulthood who suffer emotionally and have hard times relationally because they were emotionally abused as a kid or physically abused as a kid or maybe molested as a child. And they go through their whole life and their adulthood in a tailspin, and that storm that someone else did to them, not something that you did, but what happened to you has impacted your life, and it's made your life be one big, huge storm. And for some people, they never get out of it. For some, it's you know, your parent walks out, or your spouse walks out, and it impacts your life. You're born in a situation you didn't ask to be born into, but it's there, and it's not your fault. That's why decisions and choices and things that we do, we've got to be very careful, because every choice we make, everything that we do, not only impacts you, but it impacts the people around you. Fathers, it's very important that you're godly and you make the choices that honors God, because one bad decision, one thing can destroy not just your life, not just your career, but it destroys your whole family and your children. One decision that you make could have a ripple effect that impacts others around you. And some of you have experienced that. And you're in the middle of a storm, not because of your choosing, but because of what somebody else has done to you. So regardless of why you're in a storm this morning, regardless of why you will go in a storm, here's what we need to learn, is that in the midst of a storm, there's two easy things that we can do, and that is to listen and look up. Listen and look up. Listen to the voice of God and look upon God. For no matter why we're in a storm, if we are a child of God, God never leaves us or abandons us. Amen? Some of you may be going through a storm physically. You know, I think of Eric Holly and the way that he's facing his physical illness right now. He's like, hey, I'll be here until God's... says this, I'm done. He's battling a storm physically right now, but he's facing it with confidence, and he's facing it with faith. Why? Because he's listening to the voice of God, and he's looking up. So all hope was abandoned, all hope was lost. What are they going to do? Look at verse 21. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail for Crete and cured this injury and loss. I like that. You know, what was Paul doing here? He stood up and said what? I told you so. Parents, that's biblical. You see, we can use that. So when our kids aren't listening to us and they go on and do it anyway, we're like, I told you so. We got scripture to back that up. And so he stands up and says, I tried to tell you guys, you should have listened to me. You didn't. But here, he doesn't leave them off just there. Look at verse 23. Yet now I urge you to take heart. Cheer up. Be encouraged. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told, but we must run aground on some island. He says, men, should have listened. But you didn't. But that's okay. Because an angel of God appeared to me. From the God whom I serve. This is a great witnessing opportunity, isn't it? Because many of the people on that boat, they're pagans. They're not believers. He says, my God, the one who is my protector, the one who watches over me, the one whose hand is always over me, he said, I am to stand before Caesar, and because he's made a promise and because he has because the hand of God is on my life and I am a man of destiny and purpose, you all are going to be okay. Here's another truth we learn. Sometimes you are saved through a storm, not because of you, but because of someone else. The favor of God on someone else's life covers you as well. That's why I want to get around people of purpose. People who are lovers of God. People who are kingdom focused. I want to be around people who have a vision to say, I want my life to be used for the glory of God. I want to be around somebody who's got the hand of God on their life. Sometimes it's the godly wife who, because of your love for Jesus and your faithfulness to him and your faithfulness to serve him, your non-Christian husband, sometimes there's favor that comes to him just because of you. I'm glad to be in a church where God's moving. Amen? Because when you're a part of a move of God and you're part of what God's doing, then there's blessings and protection that come over you just because you're in the middle of a place that has purpose and destiny. I believe this. I think the best days of living water are still yet ahead. I believe God's got a purpose for us. He's got a reason why we're in Montgomery County. There's a reason why he sends people to this place. There's a reason why that when the gospel comes out, he's saving souls. Why? Because he's going to use this church to do kingdom-focused things. The gospel goes out, not only to Montgomery County, but surrounding counties. And who knows what's going to happen in the years to come. Amen? But when God's got his hand on you, there is nothing that can come against you. Paul was a man that had the favor of God on his life, and because there was a purpose and destiny on Paul's life, he said, I got to get you, God's like, I got to get you to before Caesar, and because I'm protecting you, I'll protect everyone else in the ship. And so he says, be encouraged. So they take off. They start sailing again. And as they get closer to land, they start taking readings, and they're wondering, okay, how close are we getting? How close are we getting? And not everyone who heard that speech actually believed him. And in verse 29 it says, and fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, the sailors, they heard Paul say, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to be okay. They start thinking, who's this guy? This is Paul. I ain't listening to him. And so they're pretending like they're going to let down the anchors of the ship. And what they're doing is they're taking the escape boats, and they're going to lower the escape boats down. They're going to get in the boat and be like, see ya. Well, these are the sailors. They know how to steer the ship. The only people that would be left on there would be the soldiers and the prisoners. And so the sailors are about to go, and Paul sees this going on. And so Paul goes over to the centurion, verse 31, and Paul says to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay on the ship, you cannot be saved. The sailors, they're about to bail. You might want to get them. And so they stopped that. And then as day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, look at what he did. He took bread. And what? Giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. In the midst of that storm, when Paul heard the promise of God, that he was going to protect him, he gathered the men together, encouraged them, and said, my God's going to deliver us. We're all stressed out. We haven't eaten. Let's eat. He takes the lead. He becomes the leader in the ship, and he starts distributing the food. And before they eat, he publicly, in front of all those men, he wants to make sure that they know who is the one in charge. It's not Paul, but it's the Lord God Almighty. And he gives thanks to God. You think about that. What kind of a witness was that to all those men there? He began praising and giving thanks to God right there in the middle of the storm. Do you realize that the way that you handle yourselves and the way that you go through a storm, if you do it in a way that reflects faith and commitment and trust and loyalty to God, your storm can become a great witness to other people. Amen? And some of you have done that. Some of you went through hardships and trials and sufferings and heartache and pain, and your faith never wavered, and you stood strong, and you declared, I'm going to be okay. God's with me. And because God's with me, I'm going to make it through the storm. And other people have watched your life, and they've said, man, because of how you handled that, that's been encouraging to me. And so Paul begins to break out in praise and thanksgiving. So what do you do when you're in a storm of life? You listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you listen to godly counsel, you listen to God's word, and you look up to God and you say, God, thank you that you have me in the palm of your hand and that you're not going to leave me or abandon me, and I'm going to be okay. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be okay. God's got this. Amen. God's got this. And he gives thanks to God. You might be in a storm right now. What do? You listen and look up. So they continue to sail and to move. And as they're getting closer and closer, they're starting to hit, and the boat's beginning to get beat and split and break, and they're throwing everything off they can. And then another last plot comes up. So as the boat begins to break, okay, they're getting closer to shore, so they're not out in the middle of the deep. So the boat's getting ready. It's busting up. It's tearing up. People are starting to jump overboard, right? The soldiers get this plan and say, we better kill all the prisoners. Because if the prisoners escape, guess who gets held accountable? The soldiers. And the soldiers don't want the prisoners to escape, so they make a plan to kill all the prisoners. But look what it says in verse 43. But the centurion, the leader of the soldiers, wishing to what? Save Paul. You see that? Wishing to save Paul kept them from carrying out their plan. Because of Paul, once again, everybody else was spared. You realize that your life ought to be a blessing for other people. This church ought to be a blessing for other people. Other people ought to be blessed because Living Water Church is here. You got that? Where you work at, that place ought to be blessed because you're in it. If you're a child of God, and if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter where you go, whatever you're a part of, it ought to be blessed because you're a part of it. If you're on a team, that team ought to be blessed because you're a part of it. Your home ought to be blessed because, men, you're leading that home as God would have you lead it. Everything ought to be blessed because a child of God is in it, and Montgomery County ought to be blessed because Living Water Church is here. The surrounding counties ought to be blessed because Living Water Church is here. Guess what? We're going to make it home. We're going to make it home. You know where home is? Heaven. Home is heaven. This isn't our home. Y'all realize that, right? We're strangers and aliens here. Our citizenship is in heaven. So you know what the Christian life is? It is a life of storm-tossed situations from the moment you breathe your first breath to the moment you breathe your last breath. And it's a journey that you're walking on It's a walk home. And we're walking home. And as we're walking home, we're going to suffer and we're going to see things and we're going to have things happen to us. There's going to be joys, but there's going to be sorrows. There's going to be good and there's going to be bad. But all the while, guess what we're doing? We're pointing people and asking people, hey, you want to come along with me? Because I'm going home. I'm not going to stay in this storm. I'm not going to stay on this chaos. We'll reach my destination. I am a man of destiny. I'm a man of purpose. God's got his hand on me. I'm a child of God. He's taken me to heaven. If you're a child of God, you have purpose in your life. He's taking you home to be with Him. Amen? How many of y'all want to go? Let's go. Let's get on that road. Let's journey together. Let's listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's look up unto God. And let's follow Him no matter what. Now, some of us, we're going to get there. Now, some of us get in there, we might be running. Some of us, you may just run through the finish line. Others, you may be crawling. Some of you might be swimming. Some of you might be like some of these men, and you can't swim, but boy, you can find something to float on. And you grab a hold of that thing for dear life, and you come upon the land on floating vessels. But for the child of God, He has promised us, we will make it home. I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't know what you're battling right now, and I don't know what it is. But if you're going through something difficult, a storm, would you listen to God's word? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to godly counsel and look up, for your God is greater than your storm. And if you aren't going through a storm, give Him praise and be ready for when it does come. Because you're either about ready to go into one, or going through one, or just coming out of one. But the same is true in all those. Listen and look up. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts today, Father. Lord, I don't know what's going on emotionally, physically, spiritually. I don't know what's going on in people's hearts and lives right now, but You do. You know the hurts and the pains and the regrets and the sufferings and the heartaches. You also know the laughter and the good and the joys of life as well. And so, Father, whatever You want to do in our heart right now, would You speak to us? Would You give us ears to hear? Would we listen? Holy Spirit, would You do Your work? For those who need to be comforted today, would You comfort? For those who need to be encouraged today, would You encourage? For those who maybe need to be rebuked today, would You rebuke us and instruct us? But let us listen. And Father, would we look up to You? For You are the God over everything. You are in control. And we give You praise, for it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.